服务员一聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2021年1月16号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的 Satyadeva Prabhu 为我们讲述今天的盛典摩迦梵歌的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Did you read the statement?
The one Narayani usually she will like.
Yeah, it sounded just like Narayani.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, thank you. Good morning to all the devotees in China.
中国的奉献者们，大家早上好。
Welcome to our Saturday morning class.
欢迎大家来到我们星期六的课堂。
Happy Saturday to you.
大家星期六快乐。
And of course, these Saturday classes, we've been reading the Bhagavad Gita, and we're on chapter 1.
那我们星期六呢，一直都在读《摩迦梵歌》，现在还在第一章。
And today we'll be reading verse 44, maybe 45 as well.
那我们今天呢，会读第一章的第44节，或者会读一下45节。
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we answered all the questions from last week or not.
我不确定我们是否回答了上个星期的问题。There are three questions left.
Okay, so, well, after I speak something on these verses, we'll answer these three questions and any questions that come in from today.
Okay. 那我先会来跟大家一起读这些诗节，读完之后呢，我们再来回答上个星期留下来的问题，还有今天如果大家有什么问题提出来，我们一并回答。
But before that, I'll chant Jaya Radha Madhava as we usually do.
那在开始之前呢，我先来唱一下 Jaya Radha Madhava。
So here we go.
好，开始。
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vanadari Gopi Janna Balabha Girivanadari Yasodhanandana Vajra Janaradana Yasodhanandana Vajra Janaradana Yamunati Ravanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vanadari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 So the way I usually do I chant the Sanskrit just myself and then we do the word for word I just chant the Sanskrit and you give the Chinese transliteration.
Okay.
Right? And then I'll read the verse and then you translate the verse. Then I like to read each sentence of the purport with a translation, otherwise, so we don't forget, you know, too much of what was already read. So we'll just, I'll read a sentence, then you translate, I'll read another sentence, and then you translate.
Okay, well, no problem.
Okay. All right, so now I'll chant the Sanskrit. Aho batamahat papam kartum vyasita vayam yadraja sukha lobhabena hantum svajana udayata. Aho.
Ai.
Bata.
真奇怪。
Mahat.
极大的。
Papam.
罪恶。
Kartum.
去做。
Vyavasita.
决定了。
Vayam.
我们。
Yat.
因为。
Raja Sukha Lobena.
被享受当国王的快乐的贪念所驱使。
Hantum.
杀死。
Swajanam.
亲属。
Udyata.
仕途。
Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts, driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness. We are intent on killing our own kinsmen.
译文，哎，真奇怪，我们竟准备犯弥天大罪，为享受当国王的快乐，我们竟想杀自己的亲属。
Purport. Driven by selfish motives, one may be inclined to such sinful acts as the killing of one's own brother, father, or mother.
要指人在自私的动念驱使下，竟有可能犯杀死自己父母和兄弟的罪。
There are many such instances in the history of the world.
历史上有很多这样的例子。
But Arjuna, being a saintly devotee of the Lord, is always conscious of moral principles and therefore takes care to avoid such activities.
但是 Arjuna 是至尊主神圣的奉献者，永远牢记道德原则，小心避免犯这些错。
Okay, so now I'll speak something.
好，那接下来我会开始讲。
Om Agnanata Mirandasha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmain Shri Gurave Namaha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Ve'eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Arjuna and KrishnaTheir chariot is situated between the two armies.
那 Arjuna 跟 Krishna 呢，现在他们处于双方两方敌人的中间，在战车上。
And Arjuna has been speaking all of these verses.
Arjuna 呢，这几个世纪里面一直都在说一些东西。
And he's speaking to Krishna.
他在对 Krishna 说。
And of course, everyone else is listening.
当然其他人也都在听着。
And Arjuna has been giving many good reasons or valid reasons why he should not fight, why they should not have this battle.
当然 Arjuna 呢，他给了很多的一些理由，一些非常有价值的一些理由来解释为什么觉得不应该打这场仗，为什么就是应该放弃这场战争。
Previously, he made the point that It's especially horrible if they kill the elderly men on the battlefield.
那之前呢，他也提出了很重要的一点，就是说，觉得要是在这场战争中去杀死那些比较年长的人，那是非常恐怖的一件事。
Because in the Vedic society, the elderly men and women are the authorities for the family.
因为在伟达的文化里面呢，年长者或者说老人跟妇女跟孩子，其实在伟达文化里面都是在一个家庭里面的权威。
And the sons and the grandsons and the daughters and the granddaughters, they all have to obey their parents and their grandparents.
那在家庭里面的儿子、孙子、女儿，或者是外孙女，其实他们都是需要必须在家庭里面要去遵从家里的长辈的指令的。
So it's the elderly in society that make sure that the younger generation follows the Vedic principles and the religious principles of life.
那当然在年长者在社会中的年长者呢，他们也会确保他们的后辈呢是会听从他们的一些伟达的一些原则，或者说是宗教的一些原则的。
So Arjuna said, if you kill all the elderly leaders, then the families will gradually become irreligious.
那阿朱娜就说，如果我们杀死了就是家庭中的那些比较年长的领导者的话，那逐渐的这个家庭里面其他的人呢，后辈呢，他们就会不再相信宗教了。
And eventually they'll produce children out of marriage.
那最终呢，他们也会就在婚姻之外呢去生孩子了。
And these children that are produced out of marriage will feel unwanted.
那在这种在家庭在婚姻以外生出来的孩子呢，他们自己就会觉得他们是不被这个家庭所需要的。
And they will be emotionally disturbed.
同时他们也会在情绪上呢是那种被干扰的。
And this.Will eventually cause the whole society to be disturbed and become irreligious.
那最终呢，会导致整个社会呢，就会变得都会在就是情绪上受干扰，或者说变得不再相信宗教了。
Yeah, so there are so many consequences will result from just by killing the elderly leaders of society.
所以呢，就是说，只是通过杀死，就是这个社会上的一些年长者呢，会有导致对整个社会会有这么多的后果。
So he said, this is a greatly sinful act, then.
所以他就说这是一个非常罪恶的事情。
But now, of course, you know, what constitutes a sinful act?
那现在当然我们来看一下是什么导致了这种罪恶的行为呢？
It's not the action, it's the intent of the action that really makes it sinful.
这不是行为本身，而是这个行为背后的这个目的，这个动机导致这个事情非常罪恶。
Just like if I'm angry at my neighbor.
就比如举个例子，如果我对我的邻居很生气。
And I want to kill him.
我想杀了他们。
His dog's barking too much.
他们的狗真的是叫的太久了，太多了。
Yeah, so I get in my car and I drive my car into his house and I kill him.
所以呢，我就开着我的车，然后开到他们家去，然后把他们杀了。
I selfishly intended to kill him and I did.
我是只是非常自私的，有这样的一个动机想去杀他们，然后所以我就杀了他。
Yeah, what's going to happen to me?
那我将要对我来说，我将要面临什么呢
well, ？Certainly, I'll go to prison.
非常确定的，我肯定要去坐牢。
And maybe even I'll be put to death.
甚至我可能会被判死刑。
depending on which, you know, country you live in, or in America, it depends on which state you live in.
这取决于我生活在哪个国家，或者对美国来，就相对于美国来说的话，你就是生活在哪个州，可能会不同的判。
Now, suppose I'm driving my car, and I fall asleep at the wheel, and my car crashes into a house and kills somebody. What will happen to me?
那再想象一下，就比如说我开着车，但是我呢在车上就睡着了，所以呢我就撞到了某个人家里面，然后不小心意外杀死了一些人。那这样子的话，我会面临什么呢？
The action is the same.
那这个行动，这个事情本身是一样的。
I'm driving my car, it crashes into a house and it kills somebody.
我也是开着车，然后冲进他们家，然后杀了人。
But I didn't intend to kill someone. It was an accident.
但是我并不是有意去杀人的，我这是一个意外。
So the punishment may not be anything.
所以呢，这个时候的这个惩我所要遭受的惩罚呢，可能就并不是什么事了。
So then.It's the intent that really makes something especially sinful.
所以呢，让一件事情变得罪恶的原因呢，是这个行为背后的这个动机如何。
So, let's just read today's verse again.
那我们今天再来读一下今天的诗节。
Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit sinful acts.Driven by desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen.
哎，真奇怪，我们竟准备犯弥天大罪，为享受当国王的快乐，我们竟想杀自己的亲属。
So, if Arjuna is saying that it would be a very selfish act to kill our kinsmen just so that we can enjoy royal happiness.
所以呢阿居娜就说，就是说如果我们只是为了可以享受我们自己的快乐，然后就去杀死自己的亲属，这是一种非常自私的行为。
Right, everybody wants to be in control and have power.
每一个人都想要去掌控，想要得到权力。
And of course, Duryodhana, he's the leader on the other side.That's exactly why he wants to kill the Pandavas so that he can have the kingdom and be in charge.
Duryodhana, 他呢，他这个国王呢，他在战队，他在队伍的敌方的那一边。那当然，他也是想就是通过杀死就是敌人，然后他就可以去掌控就他的国王，他的国家。
So Arjuna is, he's making another actually really good point. He says, I don't have such a selfish desire.
所以阿朱娜呢，他又指出另外一点，就是说我真的是没有这种这样的欲望，自私的欲望。
Yeah, it's like I don't want to kill everyone just so I can enjoy the kingdom.
我并不想因为我自己可以享受这个国家，我就去杀人。
And if I kill everyone just because I want to enjoy the kingdom, that's so selfish.That's so sinful.
如果我只是为了自己可以享乐就去杀了其他人，那真的是太自私，太罪恶了。
And then Prabhupada, he makes a point in the purport that this kind of selfishness amongst human beings is not uncommon even today.
那帕布帕在要旨中也指出，就是人性这种自私的一面，其实是非常普遍的，即使是在现在。
Yeah, there are many politicians that want to maintain their power, and they will kill anyone, even their brother or father or mother, in order to stay in power.
In power. 那很多政客其实他们都是为了保持自己的保全自己的那个权利呢，他们是会愿意去杀死自己的兄母、父母或和兄弟的，只是为了去能够去保存他们自己原有的那种权利。
So this is human nature, especially at the lower levels of consciousness.
嗯，所以呢，其实这是人性的人性的一部分，尤其是当我们就是知觉层次比较低的时候。
Yeah, so we have the five human faults.
嗯，那我们有人性的五个弱点。
Yeah, right. We're in ignorance.
我们都是无知的。
Which means we think I'm this mind and body.
嗯，也就是说，我们认为我们自己就是这个身体，就是这个心意。
And we're unconscious.
嗯，那我们都是无意识、无知觉的。
You know, depending on the context, you know, unconsciousness is a little bit different than ignorance.
嗯，那在不同的情境下、不同的环境下呢，这个无知觉、无意识，这个跟无知其实是有区别的。
Sometimes we don't consider the consequences of our actions. We're just, you know, kind of foolish.
嗯，很多时候呢，我们并不去考虑我们这种行为的后果。很多时候，我们只是比较愚蠢的就去做了。
And then we're also very selfish.
嗯，同时我们也是非常自私的。
Yeah, we don't want anyone to hurt us.
我们不希望任何人可以伤害到我们。
But we'll willingly hurt others to get what we want. We don't care.
嗯，但是我们却为了自己可以得到一些东西，我们就毫不在乎的去伤害别人。
And then sometimes we're motivated by fear.
嗯，然后还有时候呢，我们呢是被恐惧驱动去做一些事情。
Right. If I don't kill them, they'll kill me.
如果我不杀了他们，他们会杀我。
And then finally, we crave to be loved. We want to be adored. We want to be worshipped.
最终呢，还有一点就是，还有一个弱点就是，我们都渴望被爱，我们都希望自己可以成为神，我们都希望自己可以得到爱。
Yeah. So we'll do anything to maintain our image.
嗯，所以我们会不计一切代价，或一切我们会不遗余力的去，只是去保持自己的自我形象。
Right, we want to have an impeccable reputation.
嗯，我们想有那种无坚不摧的那种名誉声誉。
So if somebody knows our secrets, we might have to kill them to maintain our reputation.
如果有人知道我们的秘密，可能我们就必须要杀了他们，以保全自己的名誉。
Yeah, so these things are going on in human society at that time, you know, at the time of Arjuna, and now not too much has changed.
嗯，所以这样的事情呢，一直都在发生，不管是在 Arjuna 那个年代，还是直到现在。
Yeah, so you could say the more asleep.A soul is, the more animalistic that soul is.
嗯，所以我们可以说，一个灵魂有多么的沉睡着，那这个灵魂就会有多么的动物性质。
Actually, the soul is not animalistic, but when the soul is identified with the body and with the mind, to that degree, they'll act like an animal, very selfishly.
嗯。那本身灵魂本身呢，它并不是动物属性的。但是如果当我们的灵魂认同于我们的躯体跟我们心意到一定的程度的时候，那我们这个我们就人灵魂就会变得很像，就是像动物一样，很自私。
So, it's not surprising that human beings are killing each other in order to maintain political power.
嗯。所以呢，当人类为了去保全自己的政治的那种权力，然后去彼此杀死对方，这件事情并不是非常惊讶的。
Or you know to get a different you know life partner, sometimes you have to kill the one you have in order to get a new one.
甚至有时候我们为了去获得一个不同的伴侣，就是想换一个伴侣，我们必须先杀死一个，我们才能够得到另一个伴侣。
Because if you don't kill them, then they'll take all your money, and that you know you can't have that.
因为如果你不杀了他们呢，他就会拿走你的钱，然后你就什么都没了。
Yeah, so this is the, you know, the world of Hollywood is full of these kind of stories, right?
所以这就是大家经常看那个美国那个活里那个 Hollywood， 就是那个活活那个什么美国的那个电影啊，就是对 Hollywood 怎么翻译？
But it's
好莱坞电影。
Yeah. It's not just a movie. These things are going on in real life.
那其实这些并不只是电影，其实在真实的生活中也在发生着。
Yeah, so in the purport, Prabhupada's saying, you know, this kind of behavior is not surprising for those who are, in the lower levels of human consciousness.
所以帕布帕在要旨里面也指出，就是说，当人们为了，就是当他们的知觉层次比较低的时候，他们因为这样的就是自私的，就是动力驱使去做出杀死一些其他人，这其实也就并不奇怪了。
But Prabhupada says Arjuna, he's not like this because he's a saintly devotee of the Lord.
但是帕布帕也说 ，Arjuna 呢，他并不是这样的一个人，他是至尊主非常神圣的一个奉献者。
Yeah, so an animal has no control over their mind and senses; they're just selfishly following their desires.
动物呢，他们是没无法去掌控自己的心意跟感官感受感官的，所以呢，他们只是非常自私的，被他们的欲望所驱使着去做事。
But a devotee of the Lord follows moral principles and controls their mind and their senses.
但是作为神的奉献者呢，我们是遵循着。很多道德的原则，然后我们也在控制着、掌控着自己的心意跟感官的。
Because a devotee knows that lust, anger, and greed are the three gateways to hell.
因为我们作为奉献者呢，我们知道就是色欲、愤怒还有贪婪，其实是通往地狱大门的，地狱大门的三个东西要素。
Yeah, so a devotee.Is very conscientious.
所以呢，sorry, what devotee is very
conscientious.
Conscientious
is very very thinks, you know, speak or act. They're
They're
aware
okay.
of the results of their actions.
所以呢。奉献者呢是对他们自己的言行呢非常小心的，然后也会非常去在就是思考在乎他们就是这个行动的后果的。
And a bhakti yogi is in the higher level of human consciousness.
那做就是奉献者呢，其实就是应该拥有这种更高知觉、更高层次的知觉的状态。
Yeah, so they don't want to harm themselves and they don't want to harm others.
他们并不想伤害自己，也不想伤害别人。
Not just their families, but any living being.
不只是不想伤害自己的家庭，也不想就伤害任何生物体。
Because a devotee identifies as the servant of the Lord.
因为奉献者呢，我们自己就是认同，就是认为自己是神的这个仆人。
So he sees, he doesn't see anyone else as separate from the Lord. He sees everyone as a child of God.
所以呢，他并不认为，其他人都是跟神分离的。相反的，奉献者呢认为呢，每一个人其实都是神的孩子。
So.The motivating factor behind a devotee's actions is humility and compassion and forgiveness.
Forgiveness. 那就是作为奉献者背后的被奉献者行为背后的那个动机的因素呢，其实是三个，一个就是谦卑，还有慈悲仁慈，慈悲怜悯，还有一个是宽恕。
So actually, Arjuna is willing to forgive Duryodhana and not fight and give him the kingdom.
那其实 Arjuna 呢，他真的是 宽恕了这个 Yudhananda 这个 Yudhananda 的这个国这个国王，他其实想把整个国家都送给他，就是不想打这场仗。
Yeah, so you know, before the battle of Kurukshetra, for four, I don't know for how many years, but it was a quite a number of years. Secretly, by various means, Duryodhana and his father and brothers, they tried to kill the Pandavas in many different ways.
其实就是在这个鹿野之战之前呢，很多年很多年里面，具体几年那个不清楚了。这个 Yudhananda 这个 Yudhananda 这个国王，他跟他的兄弟父辈兄弟们，其实他们都是在秘密的想去杀死这个 Pandava 兄弟，用很多方式。
But when they became adults, you know, they were supposed to get the kingdom back because their uncle was.Just managing the kingdom until the Pandavas became of age to rule themselves.
那其实作为就是成年了之后呢，其实呢是应该把这个国王去把这个国家这个去夺回来的，因为在这个 Yudhananda 这个他的控制，这个他的舅舅这个控制掌控管理之下呢，那其实就很多东西都已经就。没有好好的管理好，就已经失去了，所以应该是去把这个国王给夺国家给夺回来的。
So Dhritarashtra was supposed to hand the kingdom over to King Yudhishthir.
Guru, I don't understand the name. Can you repeat again? What is the name? First name?
Dhritarashtra.
Dhritarashtra.
Rashtra. He's the uncle of the five Pandavas.
Dhritarashtra, 他是这个 Pandava 兄弟的那个舅舅。
So he was supposed to give the kingdom back to the elder brother Yudhishthir when they became adults.
所以呢，他其实应该在他这问他的那个最大的儿子，长成年之后呢，就应该把这个国家还给他的。
But Dhritarashtra refused.
Dhritarashtra 呢，他就拒绝了。
So Krishna and Balaram they tried to mediate a settlement.
那 Krishna 跟 Balaram 呢，他们就打算就是去摆平这件事。
So they said, okay, you don't have to give the whole kingdom, but give them part of the kingdom.
他就提出这样的协议，就是说你不需要把整个国家都还回来，你可以把一部分还回来。
But he refused.
但是他仍然拒绝了。
And he said, well, just give them one little town, you know, to rule. And he refused.
那他们又提议说，那你只是要把一个小镇，一个镇给给还回来，但是他仍然都拒绝了。
And so there, you know, came to a point where there was, they couldn't come to a settlement. So now they're going to have the battle.
所以呢，到一个点上呢，就是任何协议都任何协议都无法达成，所以呢，最终就必须要开战。
But in spite of all of that, Arjuna is still actually willing to forgive them and to let the whole thing go.
那不管发生什么都好 ，Arjuna 呢仍然是打算原谅他们，就是放下这一切的。
So this is because he's a devotee of the Lord.
这是因为 Arjuna 他是神的奉献者。
Yeah, so the other side they're not like that.
但是呢，战场的另一边呢，他们却并不是。
Of course, this isn't proper. You know, there's a place for compassion and humility and forgiveness, but at the same time, Kshatriyas have to perform their duties.
当然就是说本来我们应该是讲就是谦卑然后灵敏还有宽恕的，但是这并不是修者应该做的事。
Yeah, so even as Arjuna is fighting, he can still remain humble and compassionate and forgiving, but perform his duty.
所以即使 Arjuna 是最后是答应这个打这场仗，他也仍然是谦卑灵敏还有宽恕的，但是同时他也需要去履行自己的职责。
Yeah, so being humble and compassionate and forgiving doesn't mean we let someone abuse us.
所以呢，当我们说谦卑、怜悯还有宽恕的时候，并不意味着我们就可以让别人就是别人虐待或者是利用我们。
Sometimes we have to protect ourselves or protect others.
因为有时候呢，我们必须要去保护自己或者是保护他人。
But we have to do that without losing our center, without losing our Krishna consciousness.
但是在我们这样做的时候呢，同时我们要确保自己没有失去我们自己的中心，我们没有把 Krishna consciousness 给那个 Krishna 知觉给丢掉。
So I love this formula by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the formula for bhakti.
那我非常喜欢这个 Bhakti Thakur 他提出来的关于奉爱的这个公式。
He said that the essence of bhakti are these three qualities.
他说到就是奉爱的这个三个精髓。
Humility,
有三个方面。
Humility, compassion,and forgiveness.
这三个精髓就是三个部分，就是一个是谦卑，二是同情怜悯，第三是宽恕。
He said, if you have humility and compassion, then you can have forgiveness. That will produce forgiveness, actually.
他说，就是当你有了谦卑还有同情怜悯之心的时候，你才能够产生这种宽恕，才可以真的去宽恕。
Okay, so, you know, sometimes we don't call ourselves directly a devotee of the Lord, but we're aspiring devotees of the Lord.
很多时候呢，我们并不能说真的称我们自己，就是说真的就已经是神的这个奉献者了，但是我们至少是想要去，就是想要去成为这个神的奉献者了。
Yeah, so we aspire to be humble.
所以呢，我们是想要就是被启发去变得谦卑的。
We aspire, to be compassionate.
我们也希望自己可以变得更加有同情怜悯之心的。
And our goal is to be able to open our heart and forgive.
那我们的目标呢，是希望我们可以去打开我们的心，然后最终可以去宽恕别人。
So as we chant the holy name with attention and reverence,
当我们带着这样的动机跟参考去念诵圣名的时候，
the dust that's covering the mirror of the mind becomes cleansed.
所以那个时候呢，那些就是像镜子上的尘灰尘，就是像覆盖着我们的心灵那些尘土呢，就会变得被清理干净了。
And then we're able to see our true self.
这样子呢，我们就可以看到真实的自我。
And this produces humility.
这可以令我们最终产生谦卑。
And humility produces compassion.
而谦卑呢，又可以将我们导向同情怜悯。
And then the combination of humility and compassion produces forgiveness, opening of the heart.
那同情怜悯跟谦卑呢，两者结合在一起呢，可以将我们最终导向宽恕，也就是最后我们可以打开我们的心，可以去宽恕。
So now when we look into the mirror of our mind, it's covered with dust.
现在让我们看一下我们这个就是心意的这个镜子，那它已经就是变布满了灰尘。
Yeah, it's full of all kinds of impressions.
那它是充满了就是各种无知跟激情。
Memories of the past.
不断的想着就是过去的回忆。
Imaginings about the future.
或者是在想象着未来。
And all of those impressions are just containing this imagined self.
那所有的这一切呢，其实呢，只是继续让我们就是活在那种想象的自我之中。
It's like if you looked into a mirror and somebody, you know, pasted an image, a different image on the mirror, and you kept looking at that image and you're thinking, is that me? Really?
就像看着镜子里面的很多不同的就是画面或者说像叫图像吧，然后你就看着他们，就想着说，诶，这是我吗？
Yeah, so every time we're daydreaming, we're thinking about the past and the future, and we're thinking, wow, that's me.
当我每天就是做着白日梦，不停地在想着过去跟未来的时候，然后我们就在想象着过去跟未来，我们就在想，这是我吗？
I did this.
我做了这个。
She did this to me.
她对我做了这些。
He said this about me.
他说了我的一些事。
In the future, I'm going to do this to them.
那在未来呢，我就要也要对他们做这些事。
So this me or this I is not the real I or not the real me.
那这个时候的我呢，并不是真正的我或真实的自我。
And as long as we identify with this false self, then we commit all these kinds of sins.
那一旦我们就是只要我们还是认同于这个虚假的自我的时候，我们就会还是会不停的犯下很多的罪恶。
Yeah, and it's not that we're, you know, lust is leading us to hell, or that anger is leading us to hell, or that greed is leading us to hell. We're already in hell.
所以呢，并不是说那个色欲或者是愤怒或者是贪婪把我们引向地狱的，我们本身就已经身处地狱了。
But when we actually chant with attention,
但是当我们带着比较好的动机去念诵圣名的时候
，Then what's in our mind?
那个时候我们心里面脑子里面想的是什么呢
?The vibration of the holy name.
是圣名的这个超然的这个音阵。
And then the mirror of the mind becomes cleansed so that when we're looking there, we don't see the false self, we see our true self, the awareness that's hearing the holy name.
那所以呢，当我们在看着这个心意的镜子的时候呢，就变干净了，我们就不会再看到那个虚假的自我，而是看到那个真实的自我。而这个时候呢，这个知觉也就在我们身上升起来了。
Yeah, so now we no longer have to protect this self-image.
然后我们就知道了，我们并不需要去保护我们的这个自我形象。
We no longer have to try and maintain it.
我们也不需要再去维持这个自我形象。
Yeah, because we're just a little, you know, a little spark of consciousness, that's totally dependent upon Krishna.
因为我们只是这个一心点的这个知觉，是依附于奎须那的这个一心点的这个知觉存在。
Yeah, so we're not a big deal.
所以呢，我们算不了什么。
We're a little deal.
我们只算点小东西，小玩意儿。
We're not better than anyone, and we're also not less than anyone.
我们并不比其他人好，当然我们也并不比其他人少些什么。
So that's humility.
这个就是谦卑。
And then we see, oh man, I've been so lost in this ignorance.
然后我们就看到自己。天哪，我是多么的迷失在这种无知之中啊。
So we have a little compassion for ourselves.
然后呢，我们就对自己了，也多了一点同情怜悯之心。
And then from there we have compassion for others.
这样子我们才会对他人也开始有同情怜悯之心。
And then we want to forgive. We want to forgive ourselves and we want to forgive others. We don't want to hold on.To hate or resentment, these things.
但那个时候呢，我们才能够真的去原谅自己跟原谅他人。我们不想再去紧紧的抱着这些怨恨啊，或者是厌那个讨厌啊，那种厌恶啊，就仇恨啊，不想再抱着这些东西了。
Yeah, so at that point, we might be able to call ourselves a devotee.
到那个程度的时候，那个阶段的时候呢，我们才或许可以称自己为奉献者。
Yeah, so this is Arjuna. He's actually a devotee, even though he's temporarily, you know, under the Lord's illusion, you know, for this pastime.
那阿朱纳呢？他其实不管虽然他现在可能在处于短暂的处于那种幻觉之中，在处于过去的那种幻觉之中，但呢，阿朱纳仍然是个奉献者。
Yeah, so Arjuna already admitted that it's actually not sinful to kill aggressors.
Aggressors.
An there are five kinds of aggressors. Those who try and do something bad to you, they're an aggressor.
Okay. 那Arjuna 呢，他其实也承认，就是说你要去杀死那些就是说那些不好的人，就是比如说像混蛋一样的人，其实并不是一件罪恶的事情。
Yeah, so in the Vedic culture, it's not sinful to kill somebody who's an aggressor.
所以呢，在伟达经典里面也是这样说，当你要去杀死一个坏人或者是一个混蛋的话，那其实并不是罪恶的事情。
Yeah, so somebody who tries to attack you with a weapon.
或者是说是那些想要就是用武器来攻击你的人。
Somebody who tries to steal your land.
或者说那些想要去窃取你的土地的人。
Or steal your wife.
或者是把想偷走你妻子的人。
Or set fire to your house or, you know.
或者是去那些想要去烧掉你房子的人。
It's not simple to kill such a person to protect yourself.
所以呢，就是说要去杀掉这样的人来保护自己是不容易的。
But still, Arjuna, he doesn't want to kill his kinsmen. He doesn't want to kill these aggressors.
那即使是这样子呢，阿朱纳呢仍然不想去杀害自己的亲属，或者是去杀害这些混蛋坏人。
Yeah, he would rather just leave the battlefield and let them have the kingdom.
他甚至都想着只是离开这个战场，把这个国家就送给他们了。
Yeah, so these verses are, you know, they're actually glorifying the good qualities of Arjuna.
那这些诗节呢，其实是在荣耀着阿朱纳身上那些很好的品质。
And they're also very instructive for us.
那同时呢，也对我们来说也是非常有启发的。
You know, so especially from today's verse, we understand that the actions themselves may not be sinful. It's the intent behind the action that makes an action sinful or not.
尤其是到现在我们已经知道了，就是说行为本身它并不是罪恶的，而是行为背后的这个动机，这个意图，它才会导致这个行为是否罪恶。
Yeah, and for a devotee of the Lord who controls their mind and senses, their motivation behind their actions is always humility, compassion, and forgiveness.
那尤其是作为主的这个奉献者呢，我们是可以控制我们的心意跟感官的，所以我们这个背后的动机呢，其实很多时候都是谦卑、同情、怜悯，还有宽恕。
Even if they have to kill an aggressor.
即使我们就是必须去，就是说去杀死那些就是混蛋，就是那些坏人。
Yeah, so that may seem very paradoxical.
这可能听起来就有点就是说互相矛盾，或者有点悖论那种感觉。
All right, so I think I'll stop there and then start answering some questions.
好，那觉得我们现在就应该先讲到这里，然后我们来回答一下那些问题。Okay, so the first question from last time is, dear Guru, pay my obeisances. And no matter in the spiritual world or in the material world, they are all created by Krishna. So how to identify the goodness and the evil of the material world? If Krishna created all of it, why Krishna want to create the evil? 顶拜咕噜翻译，你好，主持人好，大家好。无论是灵性世界还是物质世界，全是 Krishna 创造的。物质世界的善与恶是怎么确定的？既然都是 Krishna 创造，为什么 Krishna 要创造恶？
Well, the material creationists, you know, are in this life, this human form of life, it's very mysterious.
那作为就是我们这一生，就是这个人类，这个就是这个物质。创造物质创造出来的这个人类呢，其实是一个非常神秘的一件事情。
And so the material world is a world, in the spiritual world, everything is one.
那其实这个物质世界跟灵性世界呢，其实是一体的。
And in the material world, and since in the spiritual world is the reality.
然后这个灵性世界呢，是现实，是真实的。
That there's oneness.
但是有这种一体的这种概念。
There's no separation from God or from each other.
在神与每个人个体之间其实是没有分离的，没有分开的。
And so the material world is the opposite of that. It's a world of duality.
那但是呢，这个物质世界呢？其实并不是这样子的，它是物质世界是一个二元论的一个地方。
Yeah, so there's no meaning to good unless you have evil.
所以呢，当没有恶的时候呢，也就没有所谓的那个没有所谓没有恶的时候就没有所谓的好了善了。
There would be no meaning to birth unless you have death.
也就是说只有当有死亡的时候才有所谓的就是生存生活着这个的意义。
There'd be no meaning to praise unless you have blame.
就是说当你去埋怨的时候其实才有了就是说才有了这种祈祷的所谓的祈祷的意义。
And there'd be no meaning to gain.Unless you had loss.
除非你失去了什么，你才懂得这个获得的这个意义。
Yeah, so this is the condition of human incarnation.
所以呢，这个就是人就是人这个再生，就是从轮回再生的这个受限制的地方。
Yeah, so Krishna's plan is, you know.We try and explain it, but it's actually very mysterious.
那 Krishna 的计划呢是他其实也是想解释的，但是呢就是其实Krishna 的计划我们是无法解释的，就是太神秘了。
But certainly, whatever Krishna does, he has good intentions.
但是无论 Krishna 做什么都好呢，他都是带着好的动机的。
Because he's all good.
因为它就是善的化身。
But it's a fact that nothing can happen without his, you know, arrangement.
但是一切的发生呢，就是没有 Krishna 的安排呢，其实一切都不会发生。
So that much we know.
那这就是我们所要知道的。
We know we're here, and we know it's a world of duality.
我们就要知道我们就是在这里在这个世上然后是一个充满二元论二元对立的地方。
And the creation is all about evolution of consciousness, that also we can observe.
而这种创造呢其实就是讲的是知觉的这种知觉的这种进化。
It's kind of like if you're in the ocean,
就像比如说你在这个大海里。
You don't remember how you got there.
但是你不记得你是怎么来到这个海里的。
You can guess and speculate all kinds of things.
你可以不停地猜测或者是在那边思考你是怎么来的。
Did I fall off the pier?
我是从那个船上摔下来的吗？掉下来的吗？
Did somebody throw me off a boat?
是有人把我从船上给扔下来的吗？
Did I go swimming and get drug out to sea?
我是去游泳然后自己淹在这了吗？
I don't know, I can't remember.
我不记得了。
All I know is I'm here.
我所知道的就是我在这里。
And the ocean is like this.
这个其实大海就是这样子。
Sometimes it's calm and sometimes there's big waves and I'm being tossed around.
那很多时候呢就是会比较平静或者是有时候就波澜起伏然后你就会或者会起那种浪潮。
And the question I need to ask is how do I get to land?
所以我们需要问的问题呢就是说我怎么去登上陆地。
So obviously it's a learning experience for us and it's a place where our consciousness can evolve.
所以呢其实呢这个就是对我们来说是一个学习的一个体验的过程同时呢也希望我们的知觉能够不断的进化。
Where we can awaken and discover our true self.
我们最终可以醒过来觉醒过来去觉悟到真实的自我。
And voluntarily, agree to serve God, to serve Krishna.
然后呢到一定的地步呢我们就可以非常自愿的自发的我们可以去服务神服务 Krishna.
Yeah, so obviously then, this illusory world of duality is necessary for our evolution as a soul.
所以呢很明显的就是说很明显的来说呢这种虚幻的二元对立的这个世界呢对我们知觉的进化来说也是必须的。
But the Vedas really don't say too much about it.
但是呢伟达里面呢其实并没有在这方面说太多。
They just say anadi karma.
他们只是说 anadi karma.
Right, which means there is a beginning, you know, to this creation and our appearance here, but it was so long ago that no one can trace it out.
也就是指的是就是说这个创造的这个开始就是如何出现的是有一个时间的就是但是太久之前了你根本就讲不清。
And then, you know, Prabhupada said this and that at different places, and the different Vaishnavacharyas have said different things, but basically what they say is somehow or other.
那当然呢，就是说，帕布帕德或者是其他的那些 Vaishnava 的那些老师们、古鲁们，他们其实也有讲了很多，但是不外乎就是这个或那个。
Yeah, so things are, they are, good and evil are like that for our, you could say, for our training or for our evolution or for our rehabilitation.
那事情呢就是这样子的那很多时候恶的存在呢是希望就是可以对我们来说是一种锻炼或者说可以是帮助我们去进化然后更去提升。
And obviously, since the Vedas don't say much about it, I guess part of our experience here is there's a reason for us not being able to figure it out, or there's a reason that the mystery is necessary.
Wow. Okay. 那我相信这个伟达里面就是没有在这部分说太多，我觉得部分的原因可能。可也许是就是说我们在这个世上的这些体验呢部分的体验呢其实肯定是有一个原因让我们去搞不清楚这个到底是怎样的肯定是有一个原因的然后呢也肯定是 就是说有一个原因让我们不去搞清楚，或者是有这个神秘的这个必要的。
So, I always recommend devotees read the Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, verse 20 and the purport when it comes to these kind of existential questions.
那呢，在这里呢，我会建议大家一起来读一下《薄伽梵歌》的第十三篇二十诗节的以及要旨。既然我们提到就是这个问题的话，我们就来读一下这个十三点二零。
Okay. Next, though.
Next question? I thought we were going to read that first. No, so you just suggest them to read it by themselves, okay?
No, yeah. I've read it before in these classes, so.
Okay. 那我理解错了，我以为是我们一起来读一下那个 13.20, 那咕噜其实是建议大家自己去读啊，因为今天我们还有很多问题要回答。好 so,
when you read the purport, though, you will find Prabhupada ultimately says, somehow or other,
因为当我们去读这个要旨的时候，就帕布帕就会在里面提到，就是说不管就是这样或是那样啊，也就是不重要。
He also says, we may not understand the reason for this creation, but Krishna understands.
他也会提到说，我们可能就并不懂 Krishna 为什么要这么去创造哈，但是呢 ，Krishna 自己知道。
So from my personal opinion is, it's everything Krishna does is purposeful. So there's a purpose that we don't understand.
那就我个人理解的话呢，我觉得就是我个人的意见呢，就是说 Krishna 做什么事都好呢，就创造什么都好呢，他肯定是有一个目的的。那这个目的呢，是我们并不知道的。
Yeah, so there was a time where I was not comfortable not understanding, but now I actually kind of enjoy it.
那我以前呢，就是对于就是自己不知道或不理解某些东西呢，我也是会觉得很不舒服的。但是到现在呢，就是我还蛮享受这种不知道这种状态的。
Yeah, Krishna is full of surprises, and it makes everything very exciting. Living life with a thrill.
那 Krishna 呢，他就是做创造做每件事情或创造什么东西呢，它都是非常神秘的。那很多时候呢，这里面就是或者它会给我们很多就是怎么说呢，惊喜，给会给我们很多惊喜，或者是很多时候也会有很多让人兴奋的地方。
Prabhupada says that he says a devotee lives life with a thrill.
Thrill.
Everything's thrilling, exciting.
那 Prabhupada 曾经也说呢，就是说奉献者呢生活呢，就是非常令人兴奋的。
Right, if you knew everything, you know why and what else is going to come, you know there would be no thrill. It would be totally boring.
如果你什么东西的前因后果你都要搞清楚，或者你什么都知道，或者说你也知道下一步会发生什么，那这样的生活不就太无聊了吗？就完全没有任何兴奋激动可言了。
Of course, our ego mind wants certainty because it's so afraid.
当然我们的假我或者我们的心意呢，是一直想要一种确定性的，因为我们太恐惧了，太害怕了。
Okay, I'm just blabbering on and on, so we'll go to the next question.
Okay, 好，那我就不再再继续讲了，我们下一个问题。Okay, Guru Maharaj, what does Goloka mean?
You have to read that in Chinese, right?
Yeah, I forgot. 请问那个 Guru Maharaj, 那个 Goloka 是什么意思呢？
Oh, yeah, that's an easy question to answer. Even I can answer this one.
或者说这是一个比较简单的问题哈，我可以来回答这个问题。
Well, of course, Goloka is a Sanskrit word, and it has two parts.
那 Goloka 呢，它是一个梵文，那它有两个部分组成。
Go means cow.
Go 呢，它意思是牛。
And Loka means planet or place like that.
那 loka 呢？它后半部分呢？它意味着就是星球的意思。
So it's the land of the cows, the planet of the cows.
嗯，所以这里面它的意思呢，就是说，牛属于牛的这个星球。
And so Krishna is a cowherd boy.
嗯，因为 Krishna 呢，他是个牧牛犊啊。
And he loves cows.
他非常喜欢牛。
So it's describing the place where he lives with all of his loving associates.
嗯，所以呢，他这个词子是在形容，就是说 Krishna 他生活在那边，就是他所联谊的地方，然后他很开心生活在那个地方。
Okay. Next question.
Okay, 下一个问题。Are there any ghosts in the world? I heard ghosts they live in different space. It's like this.世界上真的有鬼魂吗？听说鬼魂在不同的空间，是这样吗？
Yeah, yeah, the Bhagavad Gita talks about ghosts a little bit.
嗯，佛家梵歌里面也有，就是的，佛家梵歌里面也有谈到关于鬼魂的一点点部分。
Yeah, Krishna says that those who worship the ghosts, go to that dimension.
嗯，那Krishna 也讲到，就是说那些被供奉或者被祭祀的鬼魂呢，他们会对到一个，会去到一个不同的层面层次的空间。
Yeah, so there are many dimensions to life, but you cannot necessarily be aware of other dimensions when you're in one particular dimension.
嗯，那这个生命就是有不同层次的这个。不同层面的东西，当我们生活在一个层次的地方的时候，那我们是没办法去觉知到就是其他层面的。
Yeah, so there could be many dimensions occurring all at the same time in the same place, but unaware of each other.
嗯 ，same time, same place. 那在同一时间、同一地点呢，可能同时会有几个不同层面的，空间出现，但是他们彼此是并我们彼此是并不知晓彼此的。
It's just like there could be many channels playing, you know, on the TV, but you have to tune in to each channel to see what's on there.
嗯，就比如说电视上有很多不同的频道，但是你必须要调频道，开到一个频道，你才能去看那些频道彼此之间，它是没办法知晓对方的。
Yeah, so you know, most human beings aren't aware of the ghostly dimension, but some people are, you know, sensitive or they have some sort of damage to their subtle body, and so they kind of go in and out of different frequencies.
嗯 ，OK， 那作为大部分人类呢，我们其实是并不能知晓就是鬼魂所处的那个空间的。但是有些人可能他们比较敏感，或者是他们的那个精微体呢受过损伤，那他们呢可以是自由出入那些空间的。
And of course, Prabhupada and other acharyas have described that ghosts are.You know, souls that have died and they're still in their subtle body, but they haven't got a gross body yet.
嗯，那帕布帕德还有其他的一些，就是那些灵性导师们，他们也曾说过，就是鬼魂呢，就是属于就是说，当一个灵魂一个就是一个人死掉的时候这个他就是。就当这个灵魂的这个精微体死掉的时候，就是这精微体在那边漂浮着，但是他还没有找到下一个物质躯体。
Yeah, so somebody that was very sinful or very much in the mode of ignorance, they might die in that low level of consciousness and be ghost for some time.
嗯，那有些人呢，就是那些非常罪恶的人，或者是非常就是属于无知属性的属性的那些人呢，他们可能死去的时候，就是他们带着很低的知觉，就是在那边就还没有办法真正的去再投生。
So therefore, in the Vedic culture, the family members would perform certain sacrifices to help their ancestors.Just in case they were trapped, you know, in the ghostly realm. to help them get a new physical body.
那在伟达文化里面呢，也会提到，就是说很多很多这种家人呢，就是会在家里面做很多的祭祀，为他们的祖先去做一些祭祀。那那目的就是希望他们的祖先不会被那些鬼魂给困住，然后可以尽快找到下一个躯体。
Okay.
Okay. Next question. Let's see. Okay, we have a three more question coming. So, thanks, Guru. Thanks, translator. The standard to test whether it's the truth or not, practice can, test if it's a truth or not, and acceptor practice, what else can test if it's a truth?
敢问古鲁，请问古鲁，检验真理的标准可以是实践吗？除了实践，还有其他东西可以体验检验真理吗？
So what the question they're talking about, absolute truth or relative truth?
Absolute truth.
Well, absolute truth. Yeah, so there's, Krishna says there's different types of proof.
那 Krishna 他曾经说过呢，有很多不同类型的就是那种去证明或者是检验的方法。
He says that in the 11th canto.
那他在瓦坛的第十一篇。
And that's in, I think it's in the Uddhava Gita where Krishna is speaking to Uddhava.
Uddhava Gita. 那里面就是应该是跟 Uddhava 的对话里面有讲到。
I'm looking for the verse.
那顾鲁先找一下这个章节。
So just give me a second here, see if I can find it.
那大家等一会儿。
Okay, don't go to sleep.
大家等一等哈，千万别睡着了。
I don't know. I can't find it.
不好意思啊，布鲁没找到那个时间。It's okay.
Oh, well, of course, the highest proof is the hearing from the Shastras, the Shruti.
那最高的那种检验的方法，就是证明的方法呢，就是通过经典，就是那些sutra， 就是从那些经典里面去找。
And also there's a statement in the Padmapurana too. I can see if I can find it there.
那当然也在那个摩诃婆罗多那本书里面肯定有讲到。那顾鲁先再找一找。
Let's see.I'm probably going to have to look it up later and send it in.
那或许可能就等之后我找到了再发给大家。
So truth in Sanskrit is called, my God, brain is in here. It's called Prabda, gosh.Starts with a B. I really want to find this verse.
然后跟我说他真的很想找到这个时节呀。Oh, truth is satya.Guru, is it satya? Satya?
Well, yeah, that's truth, truth, but it means proof.Proof of truth is, I'm looking for the word proof.
Oh, okay.
故在找这个检验真理的这个对这个词儿。
All right, I can't find it. I can't find the verse. So I'm going to have to report. So anyway, Krishna talks about different types of truth.
那 Guru, Krishna 他讲到了就是不同类型、不同种类的真理。
So the highest truth is coming from the Vedas, from Krishna, because Krishna spoke the Vedas.
那最高层次的真理呢是来自这个韦达，也就是来自 Krishna， 因为是韦达就是 Krishna 所述说的。
And then we also get from truth, you know, the truth is passed down, you know, through histories.
当然很多时候呢，真理呢是通过就是通过历史一代传一代一代传承下来的。
Right, you know, so we learn a lot of things about, you know, how to protect ourselves, how to live, because people already discovered that previously.
那很多时候呢，我们也可学在里面，就是那些真理里面学到如何去生活呀，如何去保护自己呀，等等。那这一切呢，都是在以往呢就已经被人探索过，已经发现了的。
And then there's the truth we learn by our own experience.
当然还有一些真理呢，是通过我们自己的实验，就是自己的体验去总结出来的。
And then certain truths are self-evident that it's obvious, you know, when you experience it, everyone knows.
那这种真理呢，就是说，当你是通过自我，自己证明，就是自己体验过，然后你证明出来的给别人的。
So the Bhagavatam, which is the highest authority, the highest proof, is it describes the absolute truth.
那博迦网坛呢，它作为就是说这种最权威的，或者是说最权威的那种证明，或者是检验最权威的证明吧，它里面描述的都是最高层次的真理。
And so, first it's up to us to understand what is the absolute truth according to the Bhagavatam, and then we have to take up the practices so that we can experience that for ourselves.
那首先呢，我们先要根据博迦网坛去了解到到底什么才是绝对的真理，然后呢，我们再通过自己的实践，然后这样子我们才能够最后去就是检验，就是实践，然后我们才知道，才能真正去理解或真正的去检验的。
Yeah, so we learn about the truth from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu.
那我们是通过Guru, Shastra, 然后还有Sadhu, 然后我们是通过这样去获得真，去学习真理的。
And then we follow their directions so that we can experience it for ourselves.
那我们呢就跟随他们的指引方向，指引的方向，然后我们自己再去自我实践。
So here is the Bhagavatam's definition of the absolute truth.
那这里是瓦唐里面对绝对的真理的这个定义。
And this is Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 11.
那是在瓦唐的 1.2.11 诗节里面提到。1.2.11.
Do you have to look it up?
Yes, I'm old. Yeah, I found it.
Oh, okay. Vedanti tat tat vavidas tat vam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti subjate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
Okay. 那这就是1.2.11啊，我手头没有中文版，我就直接自己翻译了。大家麻烦课后自己去找那个正确的那个翻译版本啊。就是获得真正获得真正了悟的那些超然主义者呢，他们是把这个。他们了解真正的真绝对的真理，然后呢，把这个称为非二元对立的Brahmana 或者是 Paramatma 或者是 Bhagavan。
Yeah, so Lord Chaitanya described the absolute truth as a chinta abheda veda tattva that the absolute truth is one and simultaneously different.
那就是主查塔亚呢，他提到刚才咕噜说了一小段的梵文呢，就是把这个称为，那意思就是说绝对的真理就是只是一，然后并没有其他什么不同。
So Ved Abed Tattva means one and different truth.
One and different truth.OK, 那刚才说的这个这个梵文的意思就是说是一而不同的这个真理。
But he qualifies it by saying first, achinta.
那首先呢他先说了这个 achinta。
Achinta means inconceivable, your mind can't understand it.
Your mind cannot understand, right?
Yes.
那这个 achinta 这个意思呢，就是指的是是我们的头脑其实是无法理解的。
Right? How can be things one and different at the same time?
因为比如说就是那怎么去理解这个东西是都是一体的，都是一，但是却又是不同的呢？这是无法理解的。
So everything is one in the absolute truth in the spiritual world, but.There is a sense of two-ness also.
Sense of two-ness. OK, 那在绝对真理里面那讲的都是只有一这个概念。但是呢同时呢其实又会有存在二的这个概念。
Yeah, so, you know, that's inconceivable.
Inconceivable. 那这是根本就无法让人确信的，无法让人相信的。
Okay. So next question.
好，那苏马提马达吉补充了，就是集一集义的那个哲学，查尔塔亚的集一集义的哲学。Okay, 苏马提马达吉 help me to translate the one in one and different in proper Chinese. Okay. 集一集义的哲学哈，查尔塔亚说的。Okay, now next question.
Yeah.
Okay.那我们下面就来到下一个问题。我得找一找，我怎么搞点乱。好，下一个问题呢，Guru pay my obeisances in the field. Arjuna decided to give up the battle according to the literature knowledge and he won't let others kill himself. Is this decision made by himself, or he used the literal knowledge to make this decision? Is the right choice or wrong choice? 顶拜 Guru Maharaj 还有顶拜所有奉献者，在战场上 Arjuna 根据经典知识准备放弃战斗，让对方杀死自己，这是他做出的，是否在使用经典吗？正确选择还是错误的选择？
You know, I found the verse I was looking for, describing how to know truth.
Okay, good, good. Okay, 突然间咕噜说他找到了刚才讲的那个检验真理的那个诗集啊。
Yeah, so, what is the proof of truth?
那什么是如何什么是检验真理，如何去检验真理呢？
So what is the evidence?
那这个证据是什么呢？
So that's called pramana.
这个被称为 pramana.
Yeah, so Krishna he explains that there are four sources of knowledge of the truth. Four ways of knowing the truth.
那 Krishna 他解释了，就是说去认识真理有四个方法
，or four types of evidence，
或者说有四种，就是四种标准，四种证据。
So you'll find this verse in Canto 11, Chapter 19, Verse 17.
好，那我们在瓦坛的第十一篇的。
瓦坛的第十一篇的 19, right? 第十一点十九点十七。
Chapter 19, verse 17.
17, okay, yes. Thank you. 十一点十九点十七。
Shruti Pratyaksham Atityam Anumanam Chatushtayam Pramaneshwana Vastinad Vikalpat Sa Virajate. The four types of evidence, Vedic knowledge,direct experience, traditional wisdom, and logical induction. One can understand the temporary, insubstantial situation of the material world by one becomes detached from the dualities of this world.
那 我就自己翻译一下，大家麻烦就是再去找那个正宗的那个翻译哈。从就是这四种四种依据吧，或者是四种证据，就是第一个是伟大的知识，第二个是直接的体验，第三个是传统的智慧，还有一个是逻辑的推理归纳。通过这些呢，一个人可以去理解暂时的可以去理解这个物质世界上暂时或者说非主体的非固定的那种情况，然后呢从而呢就可以变得从这个世界的二元对立性中就是不再依附，就是可以摆脱出来。
So for example, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, which is, you know, part of Shruti, not exactly Shruti, but it'sas good as Shruti, it says that the soul is eternal.
那就是就比如说这个《薄伽梵歌》，它就是可以算是一部分的，就是算是一部分的伟大经典啊，但并不完全部都是伟大，就一部分是。这里面就讲到这个灵魂是永恒的。
This is absolutely true.
其实这个就是绝对的。正确的，绝对的真理。
Well, it's not relatively true, it's absolutely true.
这并不是相对的真理，而是绝对的真理。
No, you might have also heard this from your, you know, teachers.
那这一点呢，你可能也从其他的老师那听到过。
Or you may introspect and meditate and discover it for yourself.
或者呢你可能是通过自己的冥想，或者是通过自己的猜测，就是去思辨，然后自己得出来的。
Okay, so what was that the next question? I didn't quite get it.
我们回到刚才说的那个问题啊。So, that question is, he's asking the decision made by Arjuna is based on from the knowledge or from his own choice. And this choice is right or wrong?
Well, Krishna's, Arjuna is giving different reasons for his decision.
Arjuna 呢对自己做的这个决定呢给出了很多的理由。
And so he's giving reasons from the Shastra.
他是从那个 Shastra 经典里面去引用了一些理由。
Right, and you know, the Shastra says that you can kill aggressors.
那在这个经典里面呢 ，Sastra 里面就提到说，你可以去杀那种混蛋，就坏人。
The Shastra also says that you shouldn't kill the elders because they're the ones who maintain family traditions.
那这个 Sastra 里面经典里面也说，你不可以杀死那些年长的人，因为他们是这种年长的人是维持那种传统的人，所以你不能杀他们。
And he's also making the point that, you know, all of my teachers are here and one should never kill his teacher.
嗯，然后他还提出一点，就是说我所有的老师都在那边，我怎么可以能怎么能杀老师呢？
And then he's mentioning that especially you shouldn't kill people just so that you can enjoy yourself. That's a really sinful intention.
嗯，那他还提出就是一点，就是说你怎么可以为了自己的享乐而去杀别人呢？这是非常自私的这个做法，
yeah,
非常罪。
So He's basing his reason not to fight on Shastra and also personal reasons and also out of compassion.
所以呢他做出这个决定呢是基于就是很多的经典 Shastra, 然后也是基于个人的一些原因，还有跟基于那种怜悯之心。
Of course, you know, sometimes the Shastras contradict each other, and so you know you have to be able to apply it to the time, place, and circumstance.
那很多时候呢，这 Shastra 呢，你不能就是麻木的去套用，你要根据不同的情境下、不同的就是情况去合理的运用。
Yeah, so at this point, Arjuna is giving you know different reasons, you know why he doesn't want to fight.
所以呢，基于此呢。阿朱娜呢是为什么他不去战斗是给出了很多不同的原因。
But ultimately he's going to admit to Krishna that I really don't know what I should do.
那还最终呢阿朱娜也对 Krishna 坦白就是承认说我真的是不知道应该怎么做了。
Yeah, so now Krishna, I don't want you to be my friend anymore, I want you to be my guru.
然后他就说 Krishna 呀，我不希望你再是我的朋友了，我希望你能够可以成为我的孤独。
And tell me what I, you know, what should I really do? What should I fight or not fight?
所以请告诉我，我到底应该怎么做？我到底应该去作战呢，还是不应该去作战
？Yeah, so at this point, Arjuna hasn't committed himself one way or the other.
所以呢，在这一点上来说呢。Arjuna 就是他并没有做出一个承诺，或说要怎么样做出一个选择要怎么样。
He's kind of going over the advantages and disadvantages.
他只是去在不同的思考着这样子会有造成什么样的后果，或者有什么样的伤害，那样子会有造成什么样的伤害。
Which is, you know, a normal thing we naturally do when we have a difficult decision to make.
当我们要去面对去要去做一个艰难的选择的时候，这其实也是非常正常的。
Okay.
Okay. Next question.
Yeah.
Pay my obeisances. What's the consequence of? Sorry. I need to read it first.被奉献者杀死的人，我先读中文吧。顶拜咕噜，顶拜翻译。被奉献者杀死的人，结果会怎样呢？也会得到救赎吗？真正的奉献者实际不杀人，即使有这种行为，也是 Krishna 的意愿。这种理解对吗 ？So what going to happen to the people who killed by devotees? Are they will get rescued?Real devotees actually don't kill people. So if they have this action, is it based on Krishna's arrangement or Krishna's plan? Is it right to understand like this?
Well, yeah, generally devotees don't kill others.
是的，就是普遍来说，就是说奉献者不会去杀人。
However, you know, if somebody, you know, attacks you or your family, you might have to protect yourself. Heaven forbid.
那如果有人要来伤害你和你的家人的时候呢？那有时候呢，你可能就是出于自我保护呢，也没有办法。
And so, you know, the demigods are watching. The super souls watching.
但是呢，大家要知道，这个半神人 在看着，超灵也在看着。
And they know the intention that the you know the soul is holding.
嗯，而他们呢，可以知道或者说可以看清这个我们这些灵魂他们背后的行为背后的意图到底是什么。
Yeah, so at the time of death, Yamaraj and, you know, the demigods and the super soul, they decide, you know, where that soul is going to go next, what he needs to learn, and what consequences he has to undergo.
嗯，所以呢，在死亡之际呢，就是阎罗王或者说超灵，他们会去做一个判断，就是说你这个灵魂，你应该去是什么是要去你去学习的，或者有什么后果是需要你去承担的。
Yeah, there are no shortcuts.
嗯，这没有捷径。okay. Next one?
Yeah.
Okay. 顶拜咕噜，顶拜翻译。生活中，如果我们认为家人或者孩子的行为动机在伤害他人，比如哥哥为了自己的利益、自私的动机去发泄情绪，伤害到弟弟，这时父母出面制止，甚至打孩子的动机是为了保护弟弟、惩罚哥哥，这样的行为动机去打孩子是可以的吗 ？Okay, this is a very interesting question. Pay my obeisances.In our life, we think if our family member or our kid's behavior or their motivation is to hurt others. For example, the brother hurt the younger brother because of his own selfish benefit. And elder brother,exploded his emotion and hurt the younger brother. At this moment, the parents stopped them. And so the parents punished the elder brother out of protecting the younger brother. So if the parents beat the kids,out of this kind of a motivation to protect one punishing another one, is that okay?
Well, you know, it's difficult to be a parent because we don't really receive any kind of training. We basically tend to just act the way our parents did.
当就是要当父母其实真的是不容易呀，因为我们其实从来就没有接受过训练，就是说怎么去当一个父母。很多时候我们的管教其实就只是来源于我们自己的父母如何对待我们。
And of course, you know, children, their brains are developing even up until, you know, 20, 30 years old.
那作为孩子呢，他们的就是大脑一直都在发育，就是一直还在发育，直到他们可能二三十岁。
Yeah, so especially, you know, in the ages, you know, between 1 and 10, there's a lot of maturing, a lot of, you know, development that goes on.
尤其是就是说处于一到十岁的孩子，就是他们是非常不成熟的，就是大脑还在不停的发育之中。
Yeah, so we really have to train children according to their age and their development.
所以呢，我们呢是需要根据这个孩子的年龄以及他们的发展的阶段去训练教养我们的孩子。
And so, you know, we expect that a child, you know, between the ages of 1 and 6 or 7, they're gonna, when they don't get what they want, they're gonna throw a temper tantrum.
那就是我们就需要去预料到，就是说对于处于那种六七岁以下的这些孩子来说呢，就是他们得不到他们想要的时候，他们就会发泄情绪。
Yeah, so we don't have to shame them or you know and try and manipulate them their self-image, you know, at that age. We should expect it. We shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't shame them for having a temper tantrum. It's normal at that age.
好，那我们其实作为父母不应该去羞辱孩子，就是说，或者是想去控制这个孩子，这对他们的自我形象是没有帮助的。反而呢，就是对于这个年龄段的孩子，他们会有这样的行为或有这样的表现呢，我们是应该是就是说，对我们来说应该是不奇怪的，就是应该是不惊讶的，就是很正常的这样的一个表现。
At the same time, we can't allow them to be violent, you know, to other kids or destroy property.
当然我们也可以就是选择，就是说选择允许他们对他人就是动暴力，或者说我们选择去就是去教育他们适当的行为。
And of course, if we treat them with anger and with disgust, maybe the way our parents treated us, then that will be very unhealthy for the child.
但是如果呢，我们就是用我们父母如何对待我们这样的方式，就是用愤怒去对待我们的孩子的话，那这样的话呢是非常不健康的。
So we have to be very consistent.
所以呢，我们需要就是在这种做法上、处理手法上要保持非常一致。
This behavior is acceptable, but this other behavior is not acceptable.
就比如说跟他说清楚，这个行为是可以接受的，那个行为是不可以接受的。
And we have to explain that to them according to their level.
同时我们应该也根据他们的能力去对他们做出一些解释，就跟他们去解释。
And we have to train them to use their words or express themselves.With words, you know, what's wrong, what's going on, what is it you don't like?
What's wrong, what don't you like? Okay. 然后呢，我们也需要去用一些他们能够懂的他们的语言去教育他们，跟他们去解释，然后也鼓励他们用他们自己的语言来表达自己，比如说，哎，哪里错了，哪里不对，或者是自己不喜欢什么。
Yeah, and then we have to separate, you know, the kids that are fighting, and they have to have a timeout.
如果他们打架了，那我们就需要把他们分开，然后有一个冷战，就是不是，就是有一个怎么说呢 ？Time out， 有一个就是终止，这样子停顿下来的一个时间。
And then after they calm down and the anger is passed, then you can talk to them more.
然后当他们冷静下来了，就没有那么生气的时候呢，我们可以再跟他们去谈话交流。
Yes. So that has to happen consistently over and over and over again.
好，这一系列的处理手法呢，应该是一贯性，就是保持一贯性的。你要经常不断的重复又一重复的这样一次一次用同样的方式去处理。
Because the younger kids, they learn very quickly that if they yell and complain about their older brother or older sister, that the parents are always going to, you know, come down on the older ones.
不如说这个就是年纪比较小的就是孩子呢，他们学得很快，他们也经常会就是朝着哥哥姐姐就是抱怨呢，或者是大吼啊这样子。那通常呢，父母的做法呢，都会是尝试去让那个年长的那个孩子先冷静下来。
Yeah, so parenting, you know, it's good to take parenting classes, to read books about it, because otherwise we're just kind of flying blind without a map, and we just end up just, you know, treating our kids the way our parents treated us.
所以呢，就是说作为父母，就是要管教孩子呢，的确是不容易的，所以呢，可能需要去上一些父母的课程，或者是去读一些书，不然的话呢，你就会只是就是非常麻木的，就是去用你父母对你的方式这样去管教孩子。
Is that it?
Yeah. Okay.
All the questions.
Yes. Okay. Next questions. OK， 顶拜咕噜，顶拜翻译，请问只有自己人生的体验才是可以成为自己的生命主成，经验都只是别人的或者是经典所言的，好像比起自己的体验没有那么刻骨铭心，怎么让经典成为自己的体验？这个问题有点绕。 Hare Krishna。 OK OK this question Mataji pay her obeisances and she asked her, only our own life experience is part of our life. Other people's experience or what mentioned in the literature, they are not that deep as our own experience. How to let the literature become our own experience? Hare Krishna.
Can you tell me that question again?
Okay. The question is, she's asking about, sometimes other people's experience or some experience we get from the books, from the Vedic literature. All of these compared to our own direct experience, those others from outside is not as deep as our own direct experience. So how to let the Vedic literature or mentioned in the Vedic literature, those things became our own experience?
Well, first, we have to admit that, believing that something is true and actually experiencing the truth for ourselves are not the same thing.
OK. 首先呢，我们必须要去承认一点，就是说我们去相信某个真理跟我们自己去体验某个真理是不一样的。
It's not that we disregard, what the Vedas say is true or what other people say is true. We appreciate it. We listen to it.
这并不是说我们就忽视那些经典所说的或者是别人的那些经验总结，是的，我们当然我们会欣赏他们，我们也会去聆听。
And if it's reasonable, we may choose to believe it.
如果是合理的，那我们可以选择去相信。
And that we can use that as motivation to discover the truth for ourselves.
然后我们也可以以此为动机去让我们自己可以去发掘自己的体验的那些真理。
Just like if you see a travel brochure on Hawaii, maybe the way, you don't know if it's true. And in fact, they usually kind of exaggerate it a little bit, right? Because they want you to go there.
那比如说就是说关于夏威夷的这个旅游的这个宣传啊，那因为他们通常呢就会夸大其词一点，因为他们想吸引你去，当然你不知道这是真还是假的。
But that's okay if it motivates you to actually go there.
但是这也没有问题，你如果得就是受到 这可以也是可以成为你去那边旅行的一个动机。
But if you think that just hearing about Hawaii is the same as going there, then you just stay on the level of belief and you don't progress.
如果你觉得就是说听着去夏威夷旅行跟你真正去那边旅行是一回事的话，那你就真的就是你就这就是变成就是你，然后你真正的去相信这样子的话，你就可能并不没有再进步。
So Prabhupada said that this knowledge is meant for contemplation and realization.
那 Prabhupada 曾经说过呢，这门知识呢，其实是contemplation and what else?
Contemplation means you have to deeply consider it, and realization you have to experience it.
OK. 那帕布帕就说过，这门知识呢是需要你去非常深入的去理解，然后同时也需要你通过自己的实践去觉悟、去了悟的。
So realization means real in your experience.
就是说觉悟呢，其实讲的是你在你自己的在自己的体验实践里面去真正的去理解。
Right. So in science, you have a hypothesis about, you know, this is true that, you know, water is wet.
比如说科学领域来说，就是说真理就是比如说像水就是湿的。
And then you have to perform the experiment to actually see if the hypothesis or the theory is true.
然后呢，你必须要去做一个实验，去证明这个设想是不是真实的。
So we have the theory that the soul is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge.
那我们有这个理论，就是说灵魂是永恒的，然后也充满了知识。
So then we actually have to do the spiritual practices so that we can have that experience.
所以呢，我们必须就去做一个灵性的一个实践，去证明这一点是不是真的。
So like that.
就像这样。OK. Next question. 顶拜咕噜和翻译，作为奉献者都知道我们不是这个现世的躯体，是灵魂。那么我们现世的亲人和祖先和我们的灵魂是什么样的关系呢？我们该不该沉浸在对祖先的意念 ？OK. So next question is on pay her businesses and she asked about as a devotee.We as devotees, we all know we are not the body, we are the soul. So what's the relationship between our soul and our current family members or our ancestors? What's the relationship between them? Should we always remember our ancestors?
Well, it's very mysterious.
这是非常神秘的。
There's a lot we don't know.
这其中呢有很多是我们并不知道的。
But we do know that the body has a genetic connection.
但我们的确知道呢，这个身体呢有很多基因的这个关系，就是亲人之间。
And there are no accidents.
当然我们也知道，很多时候是会有一些意外的。
Yeah, and much of,you know, most of our life is happening to us beyond our control.
那很多大家也要知道，就是说在我们生命中很多东西都是超越我们的掌控以外的。
Yeah, it's very complex.
所以这是非常复杂的。
One thing is affecting another thing.
一个东西呢就影响着另一个。
Now, beyond, you know,beyond this mind, beyond this body, beyond this incarnation, we don't know.
那超越了，除了这个超越这个身体，超越这个心意，超越这个轮回以外的，就是重生以外、再生以外的这些东西呢，其实我们并不知道。
In one sense, we never know ourselves and we never know each other.
或者换一句话说，就是我们根本就不知道自己，我们也根本就不知道别人。
The personality, you know, the personality of our mother and our father, when they leave, you know, when that body dies, that personality dies with them.
就比如说，当就是我们父亲，我们并不知道我们父亲或母亲的这个性格、人格的这个特点。尤其是当这个身体，就是当这个躯体就是离开的时候，死亡的时候。那个人格性格那个部分其实也就是没有了，也就死去了。
Of course, our false ego is terrified to hear that.
当然我们的假我听到这一点是非常害怕。
Because it knows, that's going to happen to me too.
因为假我知道啊，这个也会发生在我身上啊。
But what am I? You know, who am I? We don't know.
那我到底是什么呢？我是谁呢？我们其实并不知道。
So it's very mysterious.
所以这是非常神秘的。
The only thing we really know is that we are.
这我们唯一所知道的一点就是我们是，就是我们的存在。
But beyond that, we don't know, you know, where we were before, or how we got here, or where we're going.
除此以外呢，其实我们并不知道我们以前在哪，为什么我们会现在在这里，或者我们未来会去哪里，这些我们都不知道。
Yeah, so the only solid ground we can actually stand on that's not moving is the awareness that we are.
Okay.Awareness. 所以呢，就是唯一一个我们可以站在那个坚实的土壤上面的，而且能够不动的一个土地上面的一点，就是可以让我们坚定不移的一点呢，其实就是作为我们这个知觉存在本身。
But this body itself and its genetics is very much a result of.You know, our parents and their parents and their parents.
那这个躯体或者我们这个基因本身呢，其实就是来自于我们的父母，我们的祖父母，我们祖祖父母，就是来自于他们而已。
And this mind and this body is constantly changing.
而这个身体跟心意呢，是持续不断的在改变着的。
Even in this, you know,few minutes that we've been discussing this, you know, 50,000, you know, cells have died in our body and been reborn.
其实就是甚至上在我们就在说的这几分钟里面，可能我们体内的五万个细胞就已经死去了，可能又再重新生出来很多细胞。
Yeah, so it's this body and mind is like a flowing river.
所以这个心意跟这个躯体呢，就像那个湍湍的那个流水一样。
There's constant flow of sensations.
我们这个感官感受呢，是不停的在流动着、变化着。
A constant flow of thoughts.
Constant flow, of thoughts 是不断变化的那个充满着变化的这个念头之流。
A constant flow of emotions.
持续变化的这个情绪之流。
When you step into a river,
当你去踏入 ，Okay, sorry.
It's never the same because the water is flowing by. It's never the same water.
当你踏入一个溪水、河水的时候，这个水是。你永远不可能踏入同一个水中，因为这个水是持续不断的在流动着的。
Yeah, so it just has the illusion of constant, but actually nothing is constant. It's totally changing all the time.
那其实这只是一个念头，就是一个其实是一个幻觉，认为是有东西是不变的，其实它都是持续不断的在变化的。
Yeah, so the only thing that's actually real and true is the one who's experiencing it all.
Only true. 其实就是唯一就是真实的东西就是我们在体验着的。
We don't know anything more than that.
除此以外，我们并不知道任何东西。
Okay.
Okay. Next one.明白咕噜，感谢翻译。小孩问在宇宙底部的 Garbhutaka 洋洋里有没有生物？有的话是哪些生物 ？Hare Krishna. This one I might need a little bit help from Sumati Madaji. Sumati Madaji, 这个里面这个讲的这个 Garbhutaka 洋洋是什么东西啊？英文你知道吗？So there's devotee asking her kids, her child is asking at the bottom of the universe. She mentioned a word, Garbhutaka Yang Yang. What's this? Is there any living entities inside? What kind of entities inside? I don't know what the word Garbhutaka.
Garbhodakshai Vishnu.
Okay. I didn't know the word. 抱歉啊，我不懂这个词。So any living entities living inside? So if yes, what kind of entities are inside?
Well, the information we have is that first there's Mahavishnu.
嗯，那我们所了解到的信息呢，第一个呢是 Mahavishnu.
And he's laying on the causal ocean of milk.
嗯，那他是在这个牛奶的这个那个什么海洋，再生的海洋之中吗？
And when he breathes, all the universes come out of his body, out of the pores of his body.
嗯，那当他呼吸的时候呢，整个宇宙呢就从他的身体里面就是展开了。
And when he glances at the universes, he injects the universes with all the living entities that are in his body.
Inject all the living in his body. Okay. 那当他就瞥视了一秒，瞥视了一眼的时候呢，那整个宇宙呢就变成就是所有的那种生物体呢就在他的体内了。
And then he enters into those universes as Garbhodakshay Vishnu.
What good?
So he enters into those universes.
Yeah.
He expands himself as Garbhodakshay Vishnu.
Okay, Garbhodakshay. Okay. 那他呢进入这个宇宙，然后呢，他就把这个宇宙扩展成为这个 Garbhodakshay
Vishnu.
Garbhodakshay Vishnu.
Yeah. And then a lotus flower sprouts from his navel.
嗯，那他的这个肚脐的位置呢，就长出一朵莲花。
And Brahma is born, the first living entity.
嗯，那第一个生物体就是 Brahma 呢，就从这个莲花中诞生。
And then Brahma creates all the forms of the different living entities, and I don't know, you know, exactly how those living entities get into those forms, but Krishna says that he's the father.
嗯，那 Brahma 呢，他就创造出了很多不同。就是不同形式的就是生命体，那我不知道具体的就是都是些什么生命体。Krishna 就说这些一切都是就是就是说 Brahman 他是这个父亲，他创造出一切。
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how he does it.
那我也不知道具体是哪些什么他怎么做的那什么生物。
But I do know that he's done it because we're here.
嗯，那我确信就是他肯定是这么做了，因为。要不然我们怎么会在这呢
？But how he's done it, I don't know.
但是他是怎么做到的呢？我也不知道。
So I don't know if all the living entities are there in Garbhodakshay Vishnu's body or what.
嗯，那我不知道这些所有的东西、生物体都是在那个 Garbhodaka 这个 Vishnu 里面呢，我也不知道。
Okay.
Okay. So next question.顶拜咕噜对莲花族顶拜翻译和主持，请问鬼魂在地狱还是在各宇宙游荡 ？Okay, so next question. In my obeisances, Mataji is asking, the devotee is asking, does the ghost exist in the hell or flowing in all the universe?
Well, there's just different dimensions.
嗯，所以咕噜说就提到，就说其实就是有不同的空间。
Yeah, so there are many dimensions of life happening in the same place at the same time, but we can't see them.
嗯，那在同一时间、同一地点呢，可能有不同的空间存在，发生着很多事情，但是我们彼此呢是不知道，就是彼此发生什么的。
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess the only way to know for sure is to die and become.
我相信唯一可以知道的这个答案呢，就是死后就成为鬼魂。Okay, next question.
How many more are there?
Two more questions.
Two more. Okay.
Hold on for it.OK, 好，那我们还有两个问题，那咕噜说他会再坚持把它完成哈。那 下一个问题，顶拜咕噜的莲花族感恩翻译的主持，鬼魂是840万种生物的一种吗？他们在此间宇宙的低等星球，他们还是他们就在地球的不同维次空间呢？啊 ，Another question is also related to ghost. I think today's devotee is a very interesting ghost. So the devotee ask.Is ghost, does ghost belong to one of the, 8,400,000 creations? Is ghost one of them? Or
yeah.
they, oh, 是的 And then, are they, do they stay in the lower planet of the universe?Or they just exist a different dimension on the Earth?
Well, you can describe it as different dimensions or different planets or different, you know, areas of the universe.
Okay. 那鬼魂是840万生物中的一种吗？咕噜说是的。那至于你的其他问题呢？咕噜回答说，就是说，对，他们可能是在地球的不同维次，或者是住在不同其他维次空间。
I find it easier to describe it as dimensions. To me, that's, you know, that concept is a little easier to understand.
那咕噜对他来说，咕噜说就说 dimension 这个词呢，就是说，对他来说就是比较容易去理解的。
Or different frequencies, different vibrations.
或者可以用另一个词来代替，就是说，不同的频率，或者是，不同的地方。
Yeah, certainly, you know, everything is a combination of the modes of nature.
那所有的东西呢，都是不同物质属性的一个集合产物。
Yeah, so there's practically unlimited combinations and variations you can get.
那不同有，所以，所以。也有很多不同的那种就是生命轮回，有不同的那种重生再生的很多事情发生。
Or different frequencies on the channel.
或者说在频道上有不同的频率。
Okay.
Okay. And the next question is, the author of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna or Vasudeva. Yeah, they in Chinese is a little bit hard. Sen Vyasa. Okay. Anyway, you got it. 《儒家梵歌》的原作者是 Krishna 还是圣维亚萨 ？So.
Is that the question?
Yeah, it's a question. He's asking who is the author of the.
Yeah, Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of Krishna.
那这个 Vyasadeva 呢，它其实是Krishna 的一个化身。
And Sanjaya is his student.
那 Sanjaya 呢是他的学生。
And he's able to remote view. He can see and hear.The battle of Kurukshetra and Krishna and Arjuna's conversation, even though he's not personally there.
那他呢有那种就是千里眼的那种功能。那即使他不在现场，他也可以去远视，就是去远视，就是那个鹿野战场，以及听到 Krishna 跟 Arjuna 的那个对话。
So Vyasadeva, he wrote the Mahabharata.
所以 Vyasadeva 呢，他写了那个摩诃婆罗多。
And Bhagavad Gita is one chapter in the Mahabharata.
儒家梵歌呢就是摩诃婆罗多的其中的一章。
And Vyasadeva also wrote the Vedas and the Puranas.
那个 Puranas, 那个 Vyasadeva 呢他也写了很多其他的伟达经典，还有 Purana 的，这个是什么意思？大概应该知道。
So he wrote.He also wrote Srimad Bhagavatam.
那他也写了那个佛家法的瓦坛。
And he also wrote Vedanta Sutra.
他也写了 Vyasampuja Sutra。
Before that, the Vedas were not written down; they were just spoken.
那在那之前呢，所有的伟达呢，就是经典呢，就是都是就是以口述的形式，并没有被写下来。
Actually, there was just one Veda.
事实上呢，其实只有一个伟达。
And it was spoken, and it wasn't written.
那这些都是就是被口述口传了，并没有被写下来。
That's why it's called Shruti, that which is heard.
这就是为什么它会被称为 Sutri, 意思就是说是被聆听。
So Vyasadeva took that one Veda and he divided it into four and he wrote it down.
那 Vyasadeva 呢，他就是从那个一个伟达里面就是听过来，然后再把它写下来，分成四部分。
So Krishna expanded himself as Vyasadeva in order to write down the Vedas.
那 Krishna 呢，把自己化身为这 Vyasadeva, 就是为了可以把这些伟达经典写下来。
Okay.
Actually, there's one more question coming up. So,
I'm going to have to hold that for next week.
Okay. 那我们还有一个问题刚刚提上来的，那咕噜说这个问题就要留到下一次来解答了。
Yeah, please forgive me. I thank you for all your questions.
请接受我的这个道歉哈，我尝试去尝试你们回答所有的问题了。
And a special thanks to Leela Rati Devi Dasi for filling in for Narayani today.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Mataji and Guru Dev.
Yeah, and we thank Sumati too. She's always there doing her service.
那我们也感谢 Sumati Mataji, 她一直都在这边就为大家服务着。
And I thank all of you for always showing up on Saturday to join us in this class.
同时呢，我也非常感谢大家今天可以就是大家今天可以一起聚在这里，然后来参加今天的课堂。
So if you still have questions, send them in, and we'll answer them next week.
如果大家还有问题呢，也可以发上来，然后但是我们下一个星期再来解答。
And we also like reflections. So if you have some realization or something you want to share, that's also very nice.
那我也非常欢迎大家的一些就是反馈。如果大家有什么就是有一些什么体验到了，有什么好的一些反馈呢，或者是一些思考或者是一些意见的反馈呢，也希望大家可以发上来，我非常欢迎。
So goodbye for today, and I look forward to being with you all next week.
那我们今天就到此为止我们下个星期再见。
And all glories to Prabhupada and all of our acharyas.
那所有的荣耀归于圣帕布帕，归于所有灵性导师。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. OK, 好，歪昆塔之音服务源于聆听，今天的讲课到此结束，非常感谢大家的聆听，祝福大家有美好的 Krishna 自觉的一天。